film sucks. Indie film sucks. It's the Indie Film Sucks podcast. Yeah.
Coming at you from the mean streets of St. Louis, from a basement on South Broadway, the Indie Film Sucks podcast. Because indie film is number 10 all the time.
Number 52.
Episode 52 with special guest Kevin Edwards, director in his own right, but also director of the Always Late TV Film and Movie Awards.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thanks for coming, Kevin. Everybody, I'm Brock Roberts, and this is Chris Grega,
hi.
And that's Chris Mackey.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
No, absolutely. Thanks for coming.
I'm Kevin Edwards.
All right, Kevin. I think Chris is going to get you going here.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah, well, that's the infamous question that you've been waiting for us to ask you is, what's your suck, Kevin?
What's my suck? Well, I think as far as filmmaking goes, my suck is got to be scheduling, you know? Booking locations is the hardest part, and your schedule is a slave to your location. You know, you don't have the location, you can't schedule a date, you know? So you're always trying to like find these locations that aren't white walls, you know?
Yeah.
because it's not interesting. You want a place that's got character, you want the perfect spot. And, you know, finding those is tough. And then once you find it, then you got to negotiate with the person. You know, what do you want? How much do you want? You know, what do you need? You know, how long can we be there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there going to be anybody, you know, on your end that's going to be there on set? You know, what are your rules? All that stuff. That's my least favorite part of the whole thing.
And isn't it fun when you talk to someone, you get the location set up, and everything is cool and mm-hmm. rock solid. And then the day of the shoot, they don't understand what you have to do. And they
yes.
think, oh, I thought this was going to take like half an hour. No.
No. No.
We said 12 hours.
I had that happen last year on the first film date of our first feature, Real Rules the World, that we're still in production of. Our first film date last year was in Gerald, Missouri, at a supermarket, and we had gotten the okay months in advance. We show up, one manager didn't tell the other, so the manager that was on duty that day had no idea we were in there.
Oh, no.
Nice.
So then we roll in,
been there.
And we've got him, you know, on our backs the whole time. How long is this going to take? You know, how long? You know, and I'm in my head, I'm thinking, okay, well, we've already got permission, okay? So the best thing to do for, you know, the product and to be fair to my cast and crew is to get the best stuff that we can get there and don't worry about his feelings, okay? Because we did our part. We
sure.
got the okay, you know? I'm not going to worry about him. Let's get our stuff, and we did.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That is a pain in the ass all the time.
Yeah.
I know, because I've had to set up multiple locations throughout the years. I've known Grega for different multiple films, and a lot of phone calls, a lot of negotiating, a lot of angst mm-hmm. until you're actually done shooting.
Yeah. So have you ever had it where you're halfway through, like let's say you had it for 4 days and you're on day two and there's like, hey, by the way, you can't shoot here anymore, because that would suck more, because
oh, yeah.
now you got footage that you're not going to be able to match.
Yep.
Yeah, that's...
Yep, that sucks.
Yeah.
have you ever gotten the boot from a location?
I've never been kicked out. You?
Yes and no. There was this one, it was a bar we were shooting,
mm-hmm.
and everything was A-okay, man. I mean, this person, they love film, and they love having stuff here, and blah, blah, blah. Well, the owner's girlfriend got shit-faced drunk and then wanted to throw us out because she thought that the makeup person said something to her disrespectful,
oh.
and it was a whole ordeal. And yeah, and she was basically going to throw us out until her boyfriend, the owner, showed up and said, no, it's cool, don't worry about it. And then there was another, my first feature, we shot the big climactic scene of the film in this defunct cement factory.
That's awesome.
And it was awesome. And then I think the day of, like the guy who ran the place was like, "Yeah, you guys got one day to do this." I'm like, what? So we had to cram this climactic end gunfight scene into one day.
A cement factory, all this stuff to play around in, and then they tell you, you only got one day.
Yeah.
And you know, like, I know, you can't get a whole lot done in a day.
No, we,
you know,
we did, and we did have to sneak back in, me and a couple of crew members, and shoot some inserts.
That's great.
But,
that's great.
Yeah.
We almost got kicked off the Chain of Rocks Bridge.
That's true.
Shooting Sound of Nothing.
You guys didn't pull permits, right? I mean,
no.
Did you? Right, I don't know if you
what
have
was
to,
that?
But...
Well, you should have, but...
No, I know, but...
They weren't going to shut that bridge down anyway, so we just had to go in Gorilla, and it was a whole day there. We did good. I mean, there's a lot of bike riders driving through the set cussing at us. You know, and then there's also Eagle Watchers.
Yeah,
that's big. And we were in the middle of it too. So
yeah,
we couldn't,
freezing cold.
The it wind was.
I remember that.
It was awesome. It was a,
yeah,
it was
you
pretty,
were there. I know.
It was a fun experience. We got it done though.
Yeah, and all the people would come through and ask, "Are you guys making a movie?"
Yeah.
What gave it away? Was it the crane? Was it the camera? Was it the people standing around? Was it the guy with the boom pole? Was it all these people look like actors? I don't know.
That's a common question that I get, you know, whenever I'm like outside filming something. Because we were shooting stuff for Rio under the Clark Bridge in Alton, you know. And then there's people who drive by, "Oh, are you guys shooting a movie?" Well, yeah.
But in their defense... How many movies are shot in St. Louis? How many times have they seen it? Mm-hmm. Probably never.
Probably.
So
but
they're more...
still have a camera.
Yeah,
and
but
cranes.
It could be a news thing. It could be something like
no,
that.
No,
I think it's
I
an
get
honest,
that.
Natural question. Just because you all are movie makers and you know what you're doing doesn't mean everybody else does.
Now, when the cops ask, you say, "Oh, it's a student film project." We're
yeah.
Not,
oh, the nothing. Producer, he's around here somewhere.
Right, right. No, I get all that, but...
When we were shooting in Alton... I had reached out to the Alton Police Department, and we had gotten permission to shoot at certain places. And then the EBUS gave us permission to shoot in the jail.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And we shot there with Keith Brake.
Nice.
And because he was supposed to play an inmate. And, you know, I talked to him, and I'm like, "Hey, will you guys cuff him, like, for the scene?" You know, and they go, "Yeah, do you want the 3-point restraints?" I said, "Yes, of course." So then, you know, Keith shows up that day, and they chain his ankles to his waist, to his wrists, and they had to uncuff him every time he wanted to go to the bathroom. Loved it. It was a lot of fun for me.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's great.
But Keith had fun. He was a trooper. He was a pro. But
and all that stuff is free production value.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, because it's the little things. You know, like. If you've got an inmate in your movie and he's not cuffed like that, you know, then he doesn't look dangerous. And, you know, if you're like a casual viewer and you're watching that, you pick up on it.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You know, and you're like, "Oh, what? That's not very believable."
The little things count, man.
Yeah. Yep.
It's kind of funny talking about film crews. I don't know, maybe a week or two ago, my girlfriend and I were out at a state park and we passed on the side of the road by a bluff. It was obviously an indie film crew. And it was all young people, and there was probably 25 people there. Yeah. There was another person who was like further up the road with the walkie-talkie, and I'm like, "Oh, this must be one of the first days on set." She's like, "How can you tell me? Because there's so many
people
here." Because the first days of an indie film shoot, you have more people you know what to do with, but by day 10, man, almost all those people are gone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then you also learn who needs to be there and who doesn't.
Yeah,
you know. You know, because when people start, they're like, "Hey, we're all making a movie. Let's all just show up to the first day." Well, yeah. You know, and everything takes a while. It's hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
So then you got a bunch of people sleeping. And, you know, which is normal. So then you have all those bodies, and they're just kind of chilling out and laying around. And
Eating food.
And, you know, it's expensive. And, yeah, it takes up. Yeah, so then you just learn, well, we're only going to keep the people on set that we know we need. So that's crazy, like 25 people.
Oh, yeah, it was huge.
Yeah, it's either their first movie ever and everybody wanted to be on it or their first day.
Yeah.
Or, you know, sometimes the actual real student films, all the students
are required.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, so that's true, too.
A lot
yeah.
too.
You didn't stop.
No.
Okay.
I didn't stop and offer any advice.
You ever heard of Indie Film Sucks? Should have passed out business cards.
Yeah, kidding. Hey, kids, subscribe to this podcast. Get the hell out of here.
You missed an opportunity.
You old creepy old man, what are you doing here? Well, speaking about starts, Kevin, how'd you get your start?
Okay. So I had gotten my start probably a lot later than a lot of people did. I first got into filmmaking in 2012. Because I had spent, at that time, I was 11 years into the professional wrestling business, where I was a manager, I was a producer, and a matchmaker, okay? So then I had spent all that time there, and I was getting sick of it. And I was also doing a podcast at the time, and I didn't like doing that. You know, so I was looking for something that I could.
2012, that's like, you're like revolutionary there. That's like early developer.
So, you know, I'm like sick of all these things. So I'm looking for something else to do. And, you know, it had always been like a dream of mine when I was a kid to be a filmmaker. So I gave it a shot. And
so, you know, I was shooting like local projects with a DSLR camera and no microphone.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Gosh.
Yeah.
What was your plan?
I don't know. You know, so I just jumped into it and started doing it. And, you know, I sucked. I was terrible. You know? But, you know, there's something about me, you know, I continued shooting this local, you know, reality series called Local Ambition, and I did that for, you know, 10 years.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I know about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was, you know, this cheesy, you know, reality show where people get kidnapped or abducted by aliens or, you know, whatever. And, you know, it was just sort of this, you know, creative, like, hodgepodge of ideas that I came up with and other people came up with, and we just did it in front of the camera. And that experience taught me a lot about, you know, filmmaking and all the different aspects of it. And, you know, I failed year after year. And then my goal the next year was to fail less than I did the year before. And then I did that until, you know, I got sick of doing that. And then I'm like, I'm just going to make my own shorts and features and stuff. So then I started doing that, I'd say 2021.
So early on, did you have a whole crew, or were you editing and doing the sound and everything all yourself?
Yeah.
And you're still here.
Now I have help because I got a guy, he's a buddy of mine, Chris Gold. You know, genius behind the camera, great guy. He helps, you know, shoot stuff. And then when he can't shoot, he's helping as the director of photography to coach other people on how to, you know, shoot stuff, light stuff, you know, whatever. And then I get to actually be a director, which feels good. I was running the camera for Schmetterling and Bonnie Conway PI, you know, my two short films. And I enjoy doing that, but I definitely enjoy standing off and being a director better.
Yeah, I think it's important that you said that because we hear that from a lot of the filmmakers and people we bring in here is it's that experience, right?
Yeah.
If you wouldn't have had any of that, you probably never would be where you are today because you learned as you went, and it's school of hard knocks, whatever you want to call it. You had to go through that in order to understand it, and I think you're probably a more well-rounded person that.
I think, you know, as a director, if you know, dipping your toes into all these different jobs on set teaches you empathy for the people that do those, you know? So, you know, me being behind the camera and filming stuff, you know, that gives me more empathy towards, you know, the cameraman. You know, your arms get tired. You know, your back your back sucks. You know? You need breaks every now and then. I barely ever take a break. I'm always, you know, on my feet and going and all that stuff. But, you know, it teaches me like, hey, well, maybe other people aren't, you know, weird like you. And they're human and they need, you know, breaks every now and then. So, yeah. Doing all that stuff definitely teaches me a little more empathy for the people that do that sort of stuff.
I agree with that. And I understand that because I've also shot things. I've also ran sound. I've worked in pretty much every department. And yeah, I think it's important to do that, to learn empathy for, you know, the camera operator, for the sound mixer and all those people. And I also understand about not Well, the actors, screw them. But you know, yeah. I've acted too, yeah. So I get that.
He has no empathy for actors.
No,
Meat Puppets. Be ready when I say to be ready.
Yeah. Quit fucking up beautiful lines I've written.
Hold on a minute. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay. When you're writing, do you write a character and then decide who's going to play it? Or do you write the character with the person who's playing it in mind?
Both.
Okay.
So sometimes, like, Red Knight was written specifically for specific actors.
Like Brock.
Brock, yep. Jackie Kelly, Scott Michael Dunn, Joe Hammerstone. Those are all people that, okay, I'm writing these parts with these people in mind.
It felt that way when I watched it.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, when I was watching it, I felt like these are the perfect people to play, you know, these roles. Because Joe Hammerstone does a very good, like, weaselly villain.
Yeah.
Okay? Very good. Scott Michael Dunn, great at being, like, sarcastic. And, you know, Brock's really good at playing the hero. Jackie Kelly's your scream queen. So, you know, it just felt like he knows what these people are best at, and he's going to, you know, write the characters for them. So that's what it felt like to me.
Well, thanks. But in some cases, like, for instance, the character of Dale, played by Zach Farmer, he was... third choice.
Really?
I mean, there were two other people.
We didn't know about him.
We didn't even know.
Yeah, we didn't even know about him, but man, he came in and crushed it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. We the person I originally cast dropped out, had to back out. The second person I reached out to moved out of state and couldn't do it. So I was like, well, who are we going to get to fill this role? And there really wasn't anyone I could think of that would fit this character. And then I might have been even Jackie who had suggested Zach because she had worked with him previously. And, you know, he turned in excellent performance.
Yeah.
And then the same thing with the bikers. Originally, all the bikers were different actors.
Yeah.
It was five different people. And then, for whatever reason, they could not commit to the part. And so we went through several changes of cast before we landed on our final Spiders people. Spiders being the name of the bike gang.
Yeah.
And, you know, it worked out beautifully.
But I think if it wouldn't have been COVID... That's a big caveat in all this, is COVID kind of, other people either picked up new things or they weren't comfortable.
Oh, yeah, we lost a year because of COVID.
Right, so I think the original actors you did have in mind, either writing from your original question, there was a long time in between when you thought about that, and thank God we were able to keep Brock and Jackie and, you know, those folks, the key core of these things. And so I think that had a lot to do with it as well, but I think we got lucky in a lot of replacements and pickups.
No, we did.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, great movie.
Thank you.
No, thanks. Yeah. Well, now you're talking about us.
Well, I'm sorry. And my dad loved it.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah, my dad went on and on about it the week following the festival. Yeah. He's like, oh, that guy's dying on the table, and all he can think about is the Nazi flag behind him. That's funny.
We got a fan.
I give all the credit to the writer, that guy.
He's a guy, isn't he?
He's a guy. Yeah, man.
Well, I guess to circle back here, so when did you decide, okay, I am a filmmaker, I'm making movies, and I know you're still working on one now. Mm-hmm. What made you decide, okay, we need something here, we need a film festival, unlike any other one around town?
I had the idea that I was kicking it around in my head for, like, you know, years and years and years, right? Like, oh, you know, well, if I had a film festival, this is what I would do. But then after submitting, you know, my work to enough festivals, I started to, you know, feel like that whole experience was lacking, you know, in a lot of ways. And I'm like, man, you know, I really wish that, you know, there's more transparency with these festivals. I wish that they would just, you know, let me know, you know, any feedback at all.
If you're in it.
Right.
It, yeah.
Yeah. Even if I get selected, like, you know, give me a score. Like, tell me that, you know, you think this scene could have been trimmed by a few seconds. Hmm. That kind of stuff. Because, you know, we're just there to, like, flail in the wind. And that sucks, you know, because when you're submitting to, like, industry professionals and stuff, you know, you would expect them to, like, say, okay, well, you know, that scene went on a little bit too long. You could probably, you know, trim that up and make that smaller. And the actor here didn't deliver their lines very well. And then you're like, okay, well, I'm going to write all this stuff down. And, you know, next time I'm going to learn from that. And I wasn't learning anything from about my own work through the film festivals.
Have you gotten in other festivals?
Yeah. Yeah. Like we've been, you know, picked and won awards and all that stuff. Right. But I never got feedback.
So what have you done up to this point? Just shorts, a feature?
Two shorts.
So two shorts. So yep. Two shorts are out there in the world.
Yep.
You have this experience with the way you thought film festivals were.
Yeah.
Then you got the reality of what they actually were. But you were winning awards and you,
yeah.
You just weren't getting everything you thought you should be. So if you can't find it, create it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, because you're paying all this money to submit, you know, to these festivals. And a lot of times it feels like, you know, is my money well spent? Am I getting, you know, more bang for my buck? And most of the time that answer is no. Mm. Of course, like when you win, you're like, oh, this is totally worth it.
Sure.
You know, oh, I got my laurel. This is great. You're not thinking about, well, they really weren't that transparent with you. You won. Did you get any feedback? No. You know, did you see the screening schedule? No. You're not thinking about that because you won.
And the experience. How was the experience through the festival?
Yeah, what was your experience like at the festival themselves?
Did you go? Did you go to your festivals that you got into? And
A couple.
Okay.
You know, it's you know, at the ones that I went to, you couldn't find, like, who was running the thing. Mm. You know? And there was no signage telling you what movies were going to play and when. And, you know, so you're just kind of there to, like, I guess I'm hanging out all day and we're going to see if my movie plays. And then it does, and cool. You know, but it would have been nice to plan my day around it.
Yeah.
You right, know, I know.
People when to come.
Right. Right. I know that my movie's going to play around 7-ish. Okay, cool. Well, I'll go grab something to eat. I don't have to, you know, sit around all day and wait for my movie. But so I had a list of all these, you know, gripes that I had about festivals, and I talked to other filmmakers, and then they were like, oh yeah, we think that stuff sucks too. So I'm like, oh, that's great. I'm not alone. I was like, you know, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to make my own festival, which is a crazy thing to do.
Those are words that have never come out of my mouth. I guarantee that.
No, I've had that thought myself.
What? Said,
yeah.
Yeah. No, for years I've thought, even back in the older days of 88mm, I thought, man, we should do our own festival. But then I think, shit, that's so much work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, good point, Chris. So, did you have empathy? Because you said you had empathy for maybe some people when you're now in the director role because you've done all these other roles in film production. Mm-hmm. Did you have empathy for some of these people now and say, I get why it's kind of hard, why some people's didn't come off the way maybe I expected it to? Or did you just put so much planning into it, you're like, it's gonna go the way I want it to because I'm making it that way?
Yes and no. You know, I got empathy because it's a very hard thing to manage. My to-do list for this year's festival had like 120 things on it. And so I get that part. The part that I don't get is, as hard as it is, you know, why are you not being transparent with people? Why are you not at least giving them the feedback from the judges? Did the judges watch the movies? Mm. I feel like if I'm, you know, paying my submission fee and to your festival, the judge should watch my movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you just don't even know. That. You don't even know if they're...
No, you don't.
You threw your money in the hat. You threw your movie out there.
Yeah.
And they may have not even watched it.
Right.
How many submissions did you get?
This season we had 160 from 28 countries.
Oh, right, man.
And how many films played?
43.
Okay, so you had to make that cut for...
Yeah.
You know, and it's painful to do, I would imagine. Yeah. Were there some movies that you felt you would have loved to have kept, but you just couldn't because of one reason or another?
Yeah, and what it boiled down to was, you know, there were movies that I loved, you know, but I'm not a judge, okay? Right. So there were movies that I really loved but didn't score well enough with the judges for me to, you know, warrant putting them in the festival. That sucks, you know? And I let those filmmakers know, like, in an email, like, hey, I really liked your...
That's cool.
I really liked your movie. Or in the director comments on the scorecard, I'm like, hey, I really...
That's... You might just be literally blowing my mind right now. So, are you telling me that even the people who did not get into the festival got feedback?
Oh, yeah.
All got the of same them. Thing we got?
Yeah. They all got scorecards.
Even the movies that were not selected got a scorecard.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
That is fucking amazing.
That is great. That, no.
That's,
we didn't even need it. First standing ovation. Yes. I would get up, but it's going to screw up the whole thing.
True.
So. Yeah.
Man, my hat's off to you.
I agree.
Thank you.
That is incredible because, yeah, most of the time, all you get, if you get anything, is the same form rejection email, and I've gotten, I don't know, hundreds of them probably, and they all say the same thing, and all I do is I scan for the word unfortunately. Yep. Blah, 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 unfortunately, delete.
Yeah.
There's nothing personal to it, nothing. It's just
no, right. And it's a template. Yeah, it's always,
yeah, it is.
Keep it's making the movies, keep making art, we just want to come back next year.
No, okay.
Give us your money.
Yeah.
You're the gold standard,
that
right?
Is the gold standard.
So you're doing it right.
Yes.
I don't know how these other people, they might get 1,000, right?
I don't care, man.
I'm just saying, you don't know what they're doing. You don't own a festival.
I'm telling you.
You don't know anything, you have to cut it off somewhere.
Have you gotten hundreds of rejections?
No.
And
I don't know. I've never seen a rejection even from our own movies.
Sure.
Because you delete them. I'd like to see one. Send one to me.
They look all the same. I'm just saying, getting feedback from a film that they knock it into a festival is incredible.
It is.
And nobody does that.
I believe that's the gold standard. But I won't sit here and knock on people that just send you a form letter because of their process. Could they do that? I don't know. I don't know what their staff is. Maybe it's one guy.
If they have... sorry to cut you off.
That's all right.
But I feel like if the judges, you know, watched and scored the movie, that stuff shouldn't just sit there in you know, the nether... collecting dust.
But that's your process, and that's what you believe in, watching every single submission because they gave it to you.
Yeah.
And giving them feedback based off a criteria you're going to award them on later, either through an email.
So this is what will have your festival stand out higher than other ones. So you know what? If those other ones don't want to do it, that's their loss.
Yeah.
So this is something that can help you grow your festival.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, absolutely. I think other people can learn from what you're doing, too. No. And that's why I agree with you, Chris. Maybe other people should take a lesson from Kevin.
Yes, because you know what? You can say what you will, and I get it. Sundance gets 10,000 submissions. But
Sundance, who cares?
But you know what? You are still paying, let's say, between $25 and $75 and up.
Yep.
Yes, you should get something
Something besides...
And if that's the minimum, I agree.
Besides a form email rejection, it'd be... And I get it, man. Not everyone can give a reason for everything. But, man, wouldn't it be great if they could? And it is awesome that you do that.
Thank you. Thank you.
But does the entrance fee cover the cost of the festival? Is that the way it's run? I don't know. I've never run a festival.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's... Okay, so...
That almost seems backwards, too, though. It's like you don't have your funding up front.
There's a guy right there to ask that question.
Well, no, because you're running yours a certain way. I don't want to get into your, you know, that stuff. Right. But
well, I feel like if you're paying your money and a judge watched your movie, I should know what that judge thought. Because those results are there somewhere. You know, whether they scored it or they just checked, you know, yay or nay. Like, I'd like to see that. You know, mm-hmm. They could send that if it exists. That's how I feel. So in this case... All I did was I made the template for the scorecards, you know, and then I'm just, you know, copying, pasting everything. And
sure.
I have a spreadsheet that does the calculations. And I just type the numbers in and put the numbers into the thing. And anyone who hasn't seen the scorecards is going to have no idea what I'm talking about.
Right? They're awesome. Did you put any, like, a copy of the score? I saw you put some posts out on Facebook recently. Did you put a copy of that? You should talk about that on your Facebook post, too, on how maybe you do things a little different.
I haven't posted any of the scorecards, you know, because I feel like the filmmakers should know what the judges thought, right? But then after that, it's up to them if they want to share that publicly.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
You know?
No, I was just saying your form, not necessarily people's personal comments. Because I read one a couple weeks ago when we talked about our experience with your film festival.
Yeah.
I read one of the scorecards.
Oh, yeah?
On air. Yeah.
Okay, so, cool.
No, hey, you're giving the movie away. I'm like, trust me.
I deleted it.
I know.
Oh, you took that out?
Yeah. You took out a few things.
Bastard. Oh, okay.
I always do.
That's what I'm saying. We don't have creative control of the podcast either. Don't see rejection letters, have no creative control. Okay, so
I understand
out, Greg.
I understand the scoring of everything, but going back to actual festival itself.
Yeah.
Why did you pick the venue you chose?
Good question. So I was originally going to do it in St. Louis. And, you know, it was going to be on Washington Avenue. There's nowhere to park. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
And then I got to talking to Jen Klein, who used to be my sociology teacher when I went to school at Lewis and Clark. And she just said, well, what if you did it at Lewis and Clark? And I was like, yeah, I do miss that place. I had a great time there. Love that school. So then I'm like, yeah, I got to check it out. So then I went there and they had Hathaway Cultural Center finished. Because when I was a student, it was still under construction. And it blew me away when I went inside. So I'm like, yes, here. This is where we're doing it. So it looked great. It had all the amenities, you know, which are important to me, you know, sure. for people to come. Are the bathrooms clean?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
is the red carpet area nice? Is the place safe? What's the parking like? You know, all those things. So, yeah, I just thought it was a great place, and it was just perfect for the festival.
Yeah, I like the theater itself. I mean, it even had balcony seating and on one side of it, and it's really raked really well to where, you know, no one's in front of you. It's just really, really nice to where everything's focused on the stage. And I had the screen set up dead center. It just, you know, it sounded great. It looked great. There wasn't any issues like we've talked about in the past, because you just never know what you're getting into.
You never do.
Yeah. And this is the first time we'd been to yours. And obviously it's only 2 years old anyhow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we just didn't know what to expect. Right. And when we get in there and it's not in a basement and it's how it is, we knew he was in for a bit of a treat. Plus, you know, the red carpet area, like you spoke of, you know, this big area. You had photographers everywhere, you know, you had, you know, just everything was set up. What made you decide to set things up the way you set them up? Because it is different than any other festival I'd been to.
Yeah. Well, thanks. So when I'm like brainstorming the festival, I have notebooks at home just filled every single page front and back of like ideas and scribblings and stuff. So I'm like, okay, well, the way I'm looking at this, I can't just like try to find my way through the maze. I have to climb and I have to look down and I have to see where to go. So I have to think about, you know, all of these different, you know, aspects, the big picture stuff, the little picture stuff. And I'm drawing stuff out. I'm like, okay, well, it would be cool to have nominee video packages play. Hmm. Okay. How do those look?
Speak about that real quick, what that means, because that was pretty cool.
Thanks. Yeah. I feel like if you're at an award show, you've got to have like video packages play for the nominees, you know, so they can see that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First time I'd ever had that.
First time I'd seen that, yeah.
Yeah. So that's my voice on the nominee video packages, but I put it through like a phase shifter to make it sound deeper. And I screwed it up on Best Feature. I didn't put the shifter on it. And then you can hear like my normal voice.
Nah, we didn't win that one anyway. So
we weren't paying attention.
We don't care about that.
We're already mad at that point.
No, so going back to that, I didn't notice it either. But you guys picked out some really good parts of every film that you wanted to really exploit to everybody.
I had stayed up several nights, like in the weeks leading up to it, picking those out. And it was really hard because some of the films, they didn't give me copies of their movie. I had to download them from Film Freeway. Oh, and, you know, you're going to get what you're going to get doing that, mm-hmm. you know? So then I have to, you know, go in there and find everything and all that. And I've watched a good number of the movies. I didn't watch all of them like the judges did. So I had to just sort of like scrub through it and see when something looked good and, you know, cut it and pick what felt right to me. Is this long enough? And then, you know, that's the stuff that we ran with.
So this was your second year. Mm-hmm. How did that compare to the first year?
Oh, we had more people. And, you know, it was smoother, I think, like, overall, bigger, because last year was one day, and then this year we had, you know, 2 days, and there was a lot more going on, because we had I had to manage the concert on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
So then I'm dealing with Steve Ewing, great guy, love Steve. You know, you're working with that band, and you're working with the red carpet, and getting the photographers lined up, and, you know, you're doing, like, are there concessions for the screenings? Where are those at? Oh, no, the cash bar is literal only cash, and there's no ATM on the campus. Oh, no, what do we do? You know, so then there's, like, all these, like, little things. And there was a lot more of that this year than last year. But overall, I think we, in a lot of ways, we just improved on what we built last year.
What were your attendance numbers like from year one to year two?
I saw more people this year than I did last year, but we didn't like have like a turnstile or anything. Yeah. We didn't count them. Yeah.
So I'm also curious on, so you had the videos like we just spoke of before the awards were given out during the awards ceremony.
Yeah.
What made you decide to, okay, I'm going to run this as a full production where there's scripts, you have actors and comedians and
doing skits.
Yeah. You're doing skits. You had a magician. I mean, you had it going on. So
when I was a kid, I really wasn't that interested in watching like the Academy Awards or anything like that because it just felt very stuffy and old. But when MTV started doing the movie awards, I loved that because that was, you know, colorful. That was cool. You know, you had all these bands that you would never see on, you know, the Academy Awards, the Golden Globes or anything. People were dressed in ways that you wouldn't see on any of those shows. And, you know, and that stuff just stuck with me. And then when I was putting together the award show, I just remembered all that. So, you know, I'm thinking, okay, well, it's got to be colorful. It's got to be fun. And we can't just have talking heads out there going, movies are great. I really love movies. You know, they're awesome. And here's the nominees for, you've got to have more flair with it. You've got to have, you know, personalities, stars, and jazz it up. So then I also took from my time in wrestling and
show me.
Yeah. You got to make a show of it. Yeah. You know, you've got to have your heels and your baby faces. You've got to have your good guys and bad guys. You have to have a certain level of gaga and a certain level of normal. In order to have peaks and valleys in your show. So that's what I tried to do this year, you know, so it wasn't all crazy and it wasn't all normal. So I tried to balance that out.
Yeah, I think you did really well. Sorry for keeping it going in front of everybody. But when I told Chris this when I was there, I was like, what's, because when they first came on and doing their skit, I wasn't sure what was going on. I'd never been to something like this.
Yeah.
I was like, this is, what's he trying to pull here? You know? But as honestly, as the night went on, I was like, okay, I understand what's happening here. This is an actual production.
Yeah.
And once I bought into that, I was like, okay, I'm going to sit back and relax and just watch it and enjoy it. Yeah. And it was a show.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable.
That to me is part of like what the appeal would be for somebody who's not involved in filmmaking at all, right? And they want to come to it. You know, we've got to entertain them in some way because there's a lot of movies that are, I mean, because they're independent, they might not have heard of. So because they're not in the know, we got to have something for them. So that's why it's like one part award show, one part stage show.
No, I think that is great because if we bring guests to this thing for the award show, right? They don't want to sit through all that kind of just, they don't, like, man, I didn't care about the other movies or the other awards and stuff like that. But if you got all that other, it's an evening for somebody to come out and go, let's go to the awards show.
Yeah.
Is that kind of your purpose? Yeah. Is that what you're thinking of?
Where, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What's that theater seat?
That theater seats, Brian told me it was like 900 to 1,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got room to grow.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think it will grow. It definitely should grow.
I'm thinking the same thing, just from the way it sounds. And I wasn't there personally because it's my birthday. I was in a car driving
around Florida. That's okay. So. Happy birthday.
No, so taking a step back from that, I saw you already put a Facebook post out that you're looking for submissions for next year.
Yep.
Which is impressive because you need that much time to watch. Do you have your judges selected already? Because you need that much time to watch.
I don't have all of them selected, but I have, right now I have three of them selected.
Okay.
So are you going to go with more judges? Or,
yeah.
Or did you only have three the past couple years?
I had three regular judges, okay? Because I had other people that were judges, but I wasn't getting the feeling that they were watching everything. So then I'm like, well, that's not fair, you know? So, cause I, you know, talked to them and they're like, oh yeah, I didn't see all the movie, but here's my scorecard. And I'm like, I can't take it. You know,
man, that's so awesome. That's awesome. Cause I'm still impressed by the fact that they watched all the things. You had a criteria for them to fill out. And now you're even saying you don't even meet my judge criteria.
Yeah,
I gotta let you go. Cause that's fair.
I mean, I have judged at, local festival before, and it is hard.
But yeah. Do you only judge the movies that are selected?
No. You're given a slate of films to watch.
Okay.
Like, you know, you're given 22 films that you have to watch between, you know, time. Yeah, it's a lot of films, and some of them are real dogs. Like, oh, God. And, you know, you got to force yourself to sit through and watch it and give an opinion. And then some are really good, obviously, yeah. But, mm-hmm. you know. So it's not necessarily an easy job.
But are you filling out something for the person who's running the festival, not thinking it's going to get back to the filmmaker?
Because I
know what Kevin's doing.
I do not remember exactly the process. All I know is I had to watch X number of films, and then I had to give my opinion on X number of films. And it wasn't something super detailed.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of work.
I gave my judges, a scorecard online, and then they just, you see, only it was really bare bones. And then they just fill that out and write their feedback, and then they send it to me, and it goes in the bin. So.
Now, feedback's important, and it's pretty nice to see the feedback. I didn't initially see the feedback. I just saw the scorecard and the overall movie, not the three judges or whatever. So I went back and read them, and I was impressed with what they did. And, you know, they seemed pretty objective about it.
Yeah.
And seemed honest about it. And they still scored us pretty high, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah. I talked to them ahead of time, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, judging these movies, you can't say, well, I'm not really into horror movies, so I didn't really like it. You know, you've got to judge it on its merits.
Yep.
Whether mm-hmm. you like that genre or you think documentaries are boring, mm-hmm. you've still got to watch it. And, you know, if you're wanting to be a part of this, you've got to watch it and you've got to be, you know, objective about it. And they were, so that was a relief.
Yeah, from what I remember, and again, I've only judged like once or twice, there was a list of criteria. You know, how was the cinematography? How was the sound? How was, you know, that sort of thing. It wasn't like, it wasn't, the material itself was less important than all the parts that made up the material, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I think on the scorecards, you know, that's certainly where the numbers come in, you know, but then when, you know, the actual verbiage comes in and they type that stuff out, you know, that's got to come from somebody that enjoyed it or they didn't.
Sure.
You know, and there's some movies that scored like, I don't know, like a 4 or 5 overall, mm-hmm. you know, but there was still like some constructive stuff from judges like, hey, buy some lav mics. Here's the lav mic that you can buy that's affordable.
Oh, cool.
And, that's awesome.
That is.
You know, yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did you hear back from any filmmakers who did not get in?
Yeah. I got phone calls.
Because, man, that is not cool.
No, it's not. But I realized late in the game that my phone number's on Film Freeway. Okay? So then that's how they were getting a hold of me. And I got... One that sticks out in my head was I got a call from a filmmaker in New York yelling and cursing me out because he said, am I to believe that my film didn't get selected for this festival? And like, yeah.
Sorry, who are you?
It didn't, man. I'm sorry. You know, oh, this is bullshit. You know, this sucks. You know, my film has been in, you know, 30 different festivals and I've won these awards and this and that, and I'm like, well, that's great. I'm sorry we couldn't, you know,
get your streak alive.
Yeah. You know, but and then they get the scorecard at the end, you know, yeah, that's why you didn't place, you know, here's all the different factors that led to you not getting in,
you know. And it sucks getting rejected the festivals.
Yeah.
It sucks. We just got a rejection for Red Knight, I don't know, yesterday. Mm-hmm. It sucks, but all you do...
Move on.
...is move on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Delete the email and say, okay, fine, we didn't get in. Because, man, what good is it going to do to call the director and, hey, you so-and-so, you should have put me in the festival because we won these awards. Or,
I bet you almost put his film back in.
No. That's awesome, bro. No,
but he might have thought, well, if I call this guy, this asshole, and I give him a piece of my mind, maybe he's gonna apologize. And I'm not.
You know, you got too many other things to worry about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And
it's subjective to your judges too, right? I mean, that's
right.
Yeah.
There's, you know, like the overall, like best short, best feature. You know, those are all numerical, right?
Yeah.
Like, whoever is a feature and got the most points, well, then you win best feature. But then in like the individual categories, like best actress, best actor, those are more subjective, right? Because you can't like quantify those.
Sure.
You know, the best actor might not have actually been in the movie that scored the highest. Brock is a good example of that. You know, but Brock was the consensus among the judges that he was the best actor out of any feature film that they had watched.
Look at you.
So
look at you. Live from the director of the creator of the film festival.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool moment. I was going to cover that anyway because it means something to us that, well, one, we got into a festival, and two, it was ran really well, and three, we actually win shit.
Yeah.
And meaningful stuff, too, not just participating trophies, you know. I'm not down with any of that.
Yeah.
And they're real... They mean something to us, and I'll talk just about me real quick.
Sure.
Because we always, I think I may have said this before, we put so much of ourselves in our movies, in whatever we do. And what I said on the stage was, you know, you can't do it alone. You have to have other actors. You have to have the whole cast and crew, and you want to do really good for them.
Yeah.
And when you actually get awarded for that, it meant something to me because it just, I felt like I was given the opportunity to kind of say thanks to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and festivals do that. You get in your festival, and it lets you be able to say thank you to everybody. And I just think that's cool. The more festivals you can do, and one like yours, man, I just think it means something to the filmmakers to be able to get up on stage and say, hey, we did it. You know, it was awesome.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. And, you know, acceptance speeches are, you know, something I wrote down, like, hey, I want to do this. Because we can have as much, you know, gaga and silliness, like, throughout the show. But part of the normal side of the show is the non-scripted part is, you know, people going on stage after they win an award and just, like, letting it loose. Mm-hmm. You know, living in that moment and telling everybody how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is... If you win, I think you deserve that, you know? But there's a lot of things, like, I think that, like, people deserve, and then I'm trying to, like, do those things for filmmakers. Filmmakers deserve more. So that's my opinion.
Well, I mean, I think from my perspective, I think the first thing I said was, wow, we're used to losing around here locally. Because really, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and the big local festival, I mean, we have won very few things. And then we go outside of St. Louis and people give us awards. You're like, okay, do people in the hometown hate us? Or you know, what's the deal? I mean, you know, the same movie goes outside of St. Louis, wins a bunch of awards, and here it's like, you know, best participant.
It could be clicky.
Oh, yeah, I know. It is. But you know, I have no idea. Maybe we just need to make better movies. I don't know.
No, I don't think that's the case. I just think it is what it is. Sometimes you get in festivals. Sometimes you don't.
Sometimes
you win awards. But, you know, sometimes you don't.
It doesn't really matter. You know, it does and it doesn't. But like I was saying before, you get in a festival, you get the opportunity to I don't know, I guess you get an opportunity to compete with other films from across the world. And then you get the chance and actually win. It's really cool because I'd never been nominated before for anything. Really? I think I got one trophy as producer because I put my kids in the movie, which my kids were actually in this movie too, didn't I? But, you know, that was just not real, you know.
Yeah.
But to get a real win just for me, and then seeing Chris and Jackie win too, it was pretty.
You had a lot of competition in your category.
You did. Holy cow. And I watched some of them too. They're pretty.
Yeah. You know, Anthony Michael Hall did great in Roswell. Roswell Delirium, great movie. You know, Reginald L. Johnson did great in it too. Yeah. And then Michael Regan in Ghosts of the Void, you know. All the nominees did like a super job. So, yeah, you beat them.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah, exactly. And the networking part, don't forget that.
Well, I was going to go to that later, but
oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, just think if you get a great venue and you get a great festival, it makes that so much easier for us as well.
Yeah.
Speaking it from that side.
Well,
right?
since you did bring that up, one thing I noticed as well is the networking aspect of it. And filmmakers should be tight with each other and actors too. You know, even though we're competing, we still want each other to win. And we met some pretty amazing people.
Yeah.
filmmakers and actors and actresses there, and we were all pulling for each other. I mean, honestly, when I went up on stage, other people from other films were very happy and clapping for me, and I thought it was really cool. And talking to them afterwards at the after party, which was pretty damn cool too. You know, some booze and some food, and some cake. Yep. You know, I had it all there, man. And we just got to know each other, and we're all, you know, we're talking to each other now.
Yeah.
Without you having that, I wouldn't have met these cool people, and I'm talking to people tomorrow that I met.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I've met a lot of great people, you know, doing it too, you know, local people that I haven't met, and then all the people that fly in for it, which is a huge honor, because we had three people fly in from Japan.
Holy cow.
Yep. Ichi, Ryu, and Ayaka. Ayaka was their translator. Great people. I took them to their hotel after, you know, screenings on Saturday, and they wanted to go to Target. So I got to take them to the first Target before the.
Gosh,
the
that's awesome!
That's a man.
Not Walmart.
That's cool.
No. They go. We want to go to a supermarket, and I'm like, okay, I'll take you to Schnucks. You know, no, we want to go to Target. So then I take them to the Target, and they get out, and they go, Target is so big. Target has everything, and I'm like, that's awesome. Welcome to Target. You know, Target's great. But yeah, they were just.
How was the festival? No, Target.
Yeah. Oh no, they had a blast. They actually showed up in the morning, bright and early Saturday, and they had a list of movies that they wanted to watch in the different venues. So Hathaway and Trimpy, and you know they would go up to the posters that we had, and they would go this one, that one, that one, and they had their whole day planned. And then when they weren't watching the movies that they wanted to watch, they would go, you know, grab something to eat at Dairy Queen across the street. Or, yeah, they had a blast.
That's cool. That's cool. That, yeah, it's such a reach just in your second year.
Yeah.
I guess the only, it's not even a complaint, more of an observation, is while too bad there couldn't have been more audience, more people there.
We're building it, though.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, we've been to festivals where, you know, there's three people in the screening, which is a drag. But I'll tell you what's worse than that is when people, say you have multiple films showing, when people just stay for their film and then split.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a drag.
Yeah.
But I can build a correlation between the quality of the film festival, which is what you're building, the people that are going to come, which allows us to be able, like people from Japan, right?
Yeah.
It allows us to connect with them as well.
Right.
So I think if you can pull all that together, I think everybody wins. Because we're going to have more people to connect with and collaborate with and meet and know from a film aspect of it. You're going to have a festival that's going to be top-notch and gain some very world, you know, notoriety.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be... That's why I'm so impressed by how good yours art is.
Thank you.
Because you started it out that way, right? You're not building it. You built it to be that way.
Oh, it's from scratch.
Now they'll come. Yeah, but you built it big and bad.
Yeah, thank you.
To start. I mean, bad isn't good. To start, right? You're not building something up. It's there. And now you're just going to fine-tune it.
Yeah, which I love that part. You know, I was happy with this year, but then I'm like, here's all these things that you did wrong, Kevin.
And that nobody noticed.
Here's what you can do better in 2025. And I do like that part. I like getting better.
You know, another part I liked about your festival was that it just wasn't one genre.
Yeah.
It was all across the board. Shorts, features, you know, every film type you could ask for, which I thought was pretty cool because it just brings more of the community together.
Yeah. I knew last year when I met you guys that you would most likely be nominated.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because your scores already came in.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So,
So you saw the movie before we saw the movie, actually.
Kevin was at the premiere.
He's at the premiere in November.
Yeah.
And we ran into you.
Yeah. So, I had already seen him, you know, so I was like, well, you know, unless there's like a lot of movies that just score higher, they got a pretty good shot. I knew that it was most likely going to be nominated. And then, you know, because of that, it has a good shot of getting screened, right? I'm like, I really want to screen this. So then, I had talked to the college, and I'm like, what can we get away with?
Oh, yeah.
You know, as far as, like, content goes. And then they said, whatever. You know, and I'm like, great. I can screen Red Knight now.
Thanks for asking. Because at that point, at our High Point screening, I was like, I didn't even know if we got in the festival.
Yeah.
Oh, his?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was early on. What'd you think about our red carpet?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, yeah. That movie, I actually, after the festival was over, I went back and watched it again on Film Freeway.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great movie. One of the benefits of the festival.
I get to go back and watch stuff that was submitted, you know, this year and last year, you know. And I've done that. You know, there's movies and I'm like, yeah, I really like that movie. I really dig it. I'm going to go watch it again.
Cool.
How do you like that film, Freeway?
I think it's
from your end, from your side, because we like it from our side.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great because it's very easy for the judges to get on there because they get login credentials and then they get to just go in there and when they can't make our weekly Discord nights where we watch movies, they get to watch them on their own time on Film Freeway and it's easy for them to use. I haven't heard any complaints and they just watch the movie and fill out the scorecard and yeah. And then there's all these like ways to filter the submissions, you know, that make it easy. So I've been pretty happy with Film Freeway so far.
How many judges are you planning on for the next one?
So right now I got like three. I'm planning, I think like an odd number is the way to go. Because we had a tie this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I can't say which award it was, but we had a tie. So then I had to, you know, ask the judges, okay, well, out of these two, who wins? And then, you know, because there's an odd number of judges, you're not going to get another tie.
Sure.
So, you know, in the freak doomsday scenario where that happens, I need an odd number. So I'm thinking maybe five. I could probably grab a couple more.
Sure.
Yep.
Well, what's next for Kevin Edwards?
So we're going to finish production on our first feature, Rio Rules the World, sometime this year. We're going to start filming again next month, and we are right now planning for next year's festival.
So talk about that feature a little bit if you want to.
Sure. Yeah, so Rio Rules the World is our first feature. I've done, you know, two shorts so far, and a lot of the people that I had in those shorts are in Rio Rules the World. Bellator Grossa plays Rio. Great girl. Super talented. Very smart. And she was in Bonnie Conway PI, and Ashley Pryor, who's been in everything I've done, awesome. She, kickboxer, covered in tattoos.
Yeah, they were also all presenters.
Yeah, so they're also the presenters and the hosts and
all that stuff. Yeah, they did a great job, all of them did.
Thanks. Yeah, I love those guys.
And you brought in BJ?
BJ, yeah. BJ Lang. I met BJ through Katarina Clayton at an improv show, and... I told him what I do, and he's like, well, if you need a host or a presenter, let me know, because I got family in Missouri. And I'm like, I like you, so.
I've known him for, probably since I started acting 20 years ago.
Really? Yeah. Small world.
It is.
He's super cool.
Yeah, he is. He's very cool, and he actually contacted me after the show and talked to Messenger.
Really? Oh, cool.
He's like, hey, I'm probably going to be back in June or July. We should hook up, have a beer. I'm like, cool, let's go.
Yeah. Awesome guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the feature is about a, you know, a woman who's, you know, she's struggling with, you know, a lot of issues in her life and, you know, drug addiction. And she ends up killing a famous Hollywood celebrity in self-defense. And then after doing that, she robs him, steals his watch, his wallet, finds a briefcase with millions in cash in it in the back of his car. And then she goes on a shopping spree, gets to live the life that she's never lived before. Always dreamed of, but she gets caught on security camera and now she's a fugitive. So the movie, you know, spends time, she's on the lam, trying to get away, and, you know, is she going to get away? What's going to happen to her? That sort of thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good plot.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Did you write that?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yep.
Write it.
Yep.
Directed it.
Edit it. But Chris Gold, my DP, did most of the editing on the trailer that we showed at the festival. And, you know, he's a super sharp guy because not only is he a DP, but he's like also a music producer. Mm. We're editing the trailer and he's like, okay, well, time the new clip with the snare. I'm like, I can't hear the snare. So he's hearing like all these sounds because that's the way his ears are trained, you know. And I'm just some pleb. I can't hear any of that stuff, you know. But yeah, super sharp. Helped a lot with it. And he's, you know, helped out with production on Rio. So yeah, couldn't be happier.
Nice, yeah. Nice. That, man, that's an awesome feeling to have that first feature.
Oh, kind man. Of. Yeah. It's. I mean, it's definitely a lot of work. Like you guys know,
it is.
Are you shooting that locally?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, as local as we can.
Sure.
Because there's some locations that we need, and if we need to travel to you know somewhere really far away, we'll do it. We on Bonnie Conway PI. Last year, we drove all the way from St. Louis to Pensacola. And
yeah, because there's no beach in in Missouri.
No.
Someone Times goes, Beach, maybe.
Someone goes, you could just use Castlewood. And I'm thinking, no, man. If I'm
mailing it in.
That's mailing it in.
Yeah.
If we're going to have this, like, 80s movie, I'm thinking Vice City. You know, I'm thinking you got to have a beach. So then, you know, I got the permit and everything from there. And I'm like, we're driving to Pensacola. So it's 12 and a half hours there, shot for a couple hours, ate, drove right back.
Oh, my God.
But the scenes turned out great. They were beautiful. So we couldn't have got that at Castlewood.
No.
No.
No offense to Castlewood.
No, I'm sure it's good for some feature somewhere.
Yeah.
Sometime.
Yeah.
But not for your beach movie. No. Yeah, it's awesome.
No, because cool. You see the bluffs. It gives it away. And AI is not where it needs to be that we can just key that out.
Well, I guess we've reached that point.
Yeah, we've covered a lot tonight.
We have covered a lot.
Yes, we have. Well, before, just thanks again for coming.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
And for your festival. It was a good experience all around. I really hope it keeps growing.
Thank you.
And see you there next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll definitely be there next year.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yes, sir.
So the highs and the lows.
Yes, that's right. Queens.
You got it.
That's where we were going.
We were rudely interrupted.
Sorry, yeah, sorry to take your bit.
That's right. You can cut that out.
Talk about what we always talk about.
What's that?
The highs. The lows and the in-betweens. True independent of filmmaking on the Any Film Sucks podcast, brought to you by 88mm Productions.
That's right.
Blah, blah, blah.
His name is Kevin Edwards.
Thank you very much for everything you've done and everything you are doing, everything you will do in the future.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good night.
Good night.
Indie Film Sucks. Indie Film Sucks. It's the Indie Film Sucks podcast. Yeah.